Amen. Maybe you wonder, this is the crazy singing long time. But they started this last September just to go for music lessons. So really, praise be to God.
Amen.
It's nice to hear something talent like. Amen, amen. Sister Narcisa will come to sing just after this song. Put on the garment of praise. Put on the garment of praise. Spirit of the heaviness shall fade away if you put on the garment of praise. Put on the garment of praise. Put on the garment of praise. And the spirit of the heaviness shall fade away. By him are amendable.
câștige, întâlnit cu obstacole.
Amen. Just to say a small testimony, Ava Adam was tested on ears. It was long time ago, maybe 2 years ago or something, and they gave him an appointment. Actually, they 3 times they tested, they say it's something wrong like that. And when we went to for test in special test, whatever, in hospital, they say he's perfect. Sometimes devil will come and tell you this and that, and you are disturbed. But at the end, Jesus. His word is last. Amen. Let's sing that song. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. Amen. We need to hear His voice. Amen. His touch. Once said the Lord, begging, His eyes were blind. The light He could not see. He clutched His rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came. Bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. He's come to stay from home and friends. The evil spirit drove him. And come the tombs, he dwell in the misery. He cut himself as demons power possess him. When Jesus came and set the captive free. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all his change, when Jesus comes to stay. Unclean, unclean, the leper cried in torment. The deaf and dumb in helpless stood near. The fever ache, disease had gripped its victim. Jesus came. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. He comes to stay. So men today have found a Savior able. They could not conquer. Then Jesus came. Then Jesus came. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. Down from His glory, ever living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus was His name. Born in a manger, to His own the stranger, a man of sorrow, tears and agony. Oh, how I love Him, how I adore Him, my breath, my sunshine, my all in all. The great Creator, He became my Savior, and all God's cold and sension, bringing us redemption. That in the dead of night, not one faint hope in sight. God gracious tender, laid aside His splendor, stooping to who to save my soul. Oh, how I love Him, how I adore Him, my breath, my sunshine, my all in all. And all God's fullness dwelleth in Him. Without a reluctance, blood is substance. He took the form of man, revealed the hidden plan. Oh, glorious mystery, sacrifice of Calvary. No doubt the great I am. Oh, how I love Him, how I adore Him, my bread, my sunshine, my hope in all. The great Creator, He became my Savior.
Father, we thank you for worship. We thank you for an opportunity, Lord, once again to express ourselves to you, Lord. And Father, we long to come unto thee and pray now. Father, we long to look unto thee. Father, to acknowledge thee in all of our ways. Father, we know that outside of thee, we're helpless, Lord. Outside of thee, we can do nothing. But Father, in thee, all things are possible. And Father, we just long and desire that you'd have the preeminence upon this day. Father, in every single soul, every single life that is represented here upon this day, that, Lord, this would be another opportunity that you'd give unto us, Lord, by drawing near unto us, Lord, by unveiling yourself unto us, by, Father, just revealing yourself unto our souls, by making known, Father, the greatness of who you are unto us once again. That, Father, upon this day you would change lives would be our desire, Lord. That, Father, you would minister and speak, Father, and just bring us within the veil. That, Lord, the praise, the honor, the glory might be given unto thee, Lord. Bless your word as we open it. Father, how we need eye salve upon our eyes in this age. Lord, we think of the prophet, how many times he would say that, Lord, that we can take the physical book, but, Lord, it takes you to open up our understanding. It takes you, Lord, to really open it up unto us, Lord. So, Father, just coming in simplicity and humility upon this day. Just, Father, seeking for that communion with you in this age that we need ever so much, Lord. And just praying that you would help us, lead us, Father, touch us, and be glorified, Lord. Prayer has been prayed already for the other saints gathering around the country. Bless them, we'd pray, Father, for the needs we have in our midst, Lord, to bring them up unto thee, Father. Just the needy people, but Father, we've come unto thee upon this day. Bless your people, we ask. Bless your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. God bless you, saints. We'd like to just greet the visitor, Sister Lillian from Zimbabwe, living in Wexford. God bless you, sister, wherever she is there. God bless you, sister. Nice to have you with us. We've got Ricardas from Lithuania. He's with us. God bless you, brother. And also Sister Olga, she's here with her fiancé, Alex. It's very nice to meet him as well. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Let's open Exodus chapter 12, saints. Still not 100% confirmed this issue with Brother George Martin. I'm sorry about that, but I'm a little bit stuck in the middle of ministers trying to arrange dates. Sometimes it's not an easy thing to do. Hopefully, you know, he's going to be with Brother Crosby from tomorrow, so hopefully we'll get some final idea. It might be this coming weekend, might be the one after, so we'll let you know. I really do apologize. There's nothing I can do. I'm just really waiting for him to confirm, because, you know, the prophet says, if ever you want your life to be complicated, get involved with ministers, you know. There's a lot of things that takes place in their lives and things change. So, well, may he come in the time the Lord appoints. That's what we desire. Amen. Let's open Exodus chapter 12. Let's read from verse 12. In fact, we'll go a little bit before that. Just to get a better context, let's take it from verse 7. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper post doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So we can really see just the condition that people were supposed to eat this Passover in, which was the lamb in the age. Now, there were supposed to be people that girded up their loins, of people that were prepared and ready for an exodus. Now, we know we're living in Laodicea, which is the great enemy of that. Now, it's going to try to put us to sleep. But this is what the Lord was commanding. And he said in verse 12, and he gives the reason why. He says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Amen. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated, saints. Just want to take a thought today, just in two different stages of service by the grace of God. But I just want to speak about token time. And I really do believe, we were just speaking a little bit to the youth on Friday. Brother Will was there as well. And just speaking about, you know, I'm sure you like me, if you're anything near the Lord, you know, we all want to be closer to Him, I'm sure. But you really do feel a pressing inside of your soul at a time like this. Amen. You know, when you see the way that things are in the world, we see the way that things are unfolding themselves. You know, there's just an urgency inside because there's so many things taking place that we've never seen take place before. You know, we've heard of many things down through the years. We've been in the message. We've heard, you know, we knew certain things were going to happen. Certain things were going to move into certain positions. But we never saw it the way that it is now.
Amen.
Now, things have just moved into a certain cycle now. And like I say many times, it doesn't take much to finish things off now.
Amen.
You know, it's like it doesn't take much. If the Lord just said it's time now, you know, it doesn't take much for Him just to let His hands go from certain things that are restraining. And we'd find ourselves very quickly fulfilling the last parts of the prophecy that's to be fulfilled.
Amen.
And I don't think any believer here would ever say that they've ever seen it like this before. It's never been like this before. Mm-hmm. You know, the events that are taking place. And just when I've been reading different things, you know, you always read and have a look at what's happening in modern events and so forth. Now, I just accumulated quite a few things. And I thought just for the next few minutes, maybe at the beginning of the service, that it might be good just to just bring a bit of an overview of some of the events that are taking place which fit in line with prophecy.
Amen.
You know, and my aim in doing this is just to try to remind believers, you know, just to put a certain something inside of people's souls. You know, for people just to look and to say, like the prophet would always say, it's later than you think.
Amen.
You know, and then maybe we get into the main part of the service, which is token time, and we get to really speak about the token. You know, because before God sends anything upon the earth, He always sends mercy, but you've got to really appreciate and take advantage of your days of mercy, which is what the token is about. But you know, just from the token message, I have it here. I just want to just take certain things which the prophet spoke of about the token when he was speaking to the believers in his age, in his day. And I really did when I was listening to this message, the token recently. You know, it's a tremendous message. There's just so many things that he speaks of in it, but it's a sobering message as well.
Amen.
You know, the token isn't a message which you can just listen to and jump up and down. The token is a message that will get you really searching your own experience with God. Because as it was in these days in Exodus chapter 12, God had only one provision to escape the judgment.
Amen.
And that was the token. There was no other provision that Jehovah made. It was very particular. It was very, you know, God had described it perfectly to the people. He showed them exactly what they had to do. There were certain things that had to be displayed at that time. You know, and as long as the people could look and see in the word and see what Moses had commanded them and see that, you know, what they were displaying was exactly what the requirement was for that age, the people could be at rest.
Amen.
But if the people weren't displaying this token, you know, there was still time between then and midnight to get it right. And I think that's the key. Just as we're waiting for the midnight to strike, now I really do believe it's time for us to draw closer. I really do believe. I think it's time for us to really search ourselves. Because there's certain things we really need from the Lord. As individuals, especially. You know, there's a certain place that I really believe the Lord is calling His people to at this time. You know, and this is exactly like it was in that age. It wasn't a, you know, it was a serious time when the Lord told them, gird up your loins, eat it in haste, you know, be prepared, keep your staff in your hand. You know, the people were under a certain expectation, but it wasn't everybody that was in that condition. You know, there were many, many people, I'm sure, that were there and they were just saying, ah, you know, this man Moses is bothering us once again. Why can't he just leave us alone? Now leave us just to make our money here in Egypt and, you know, take advantage of the season. But there were certain believers at that time that when Moses came in that particular junction, as they saw the judgments of God in the earth already, no, it really moved the souls of God's elect.
Amen.
And the prophet speaks of it all the time. He says, if you go back to the days of Noah, you would have found there was the elect, the predestinated of all of the beasts of the field. You know, there were the two of each kind, and each of them would feel inside of their souls a certain pull in that season before the judgment came. And something pulled them and something drew them to the ark. And they went in and the prophets and everything else perished.
Amen.
Because they were predestinated unto it. They could feel something in that hour. But it wasn't enough just to feel that particular thing in that hour. They obeyed. You know, they submitted. They left everything. That there was nothing more important to them than to get in that ark. You know, and everything else had to become secondary at that time inside of the experience in order for them to come to this place of grace, this place of safety that Jehovah had provided for them in that day. And it was the same here in Egypt. You know, God's grace had provided them with a refuge under the blood. God had done everything that he could do. But the people now, they had to take advantage of what the Lord had done. And there were certain ways that they could know that they were doing it the right way. And I think it's the same in our Christian experience. So that's getting onto the token. But first of all, you know, there's a lot of things that have been taking place. I mentioned a few things a couple of Wednesdays ago, you know, concerning the modern events taking place. So I just wanted to just show some slides, read a few things the prophet said, and a couple of scriptures, and show quite a lot of things that have been taking place just to try to put a picture together. You know, just so we can just see, because, you know, sometimes we see isolated events, we see this, we see that, but we don't really see sometimes that things are unfolding in a certain way, Amen. Bringing things to a certain place. Amen. And it's quite an easy thing, you know, we're all busy in life, you know, everybody has exam time and all of that. It's quite an easy thing not maybe to recognize or to see, just maybe where things are heading to. Yes. And but sometimes when you see where things are and you see where things are heading to and you know what the message says, you know what the scripture says, you can start to see that it's not much more that needs to happen to bring things to the place, you know, that the world has got to come to in the end. So this is just looking at token time. We've had a look at this before, and I just wanted to bring this up again, the blood moons, because I find they're very significant at this time. It's a real, real something about this. We know that whenever there's an eclipse of the moon, because of the way that the earth comes between the sun and the moon, and the way that the sunlight filters through the earth's atmosphere, a full eclipse of the moon goes red, and they call it a blood moon. And we know that this signifies something, because, you know, I took this picture here from the Church Age book. In 1964, before the Pope went to Israel, you know, it was the first time that a Pope had been to Israel for how many millennia that it had been. There was a blood moon. You know, there was an eclipse of the moon. There was a full eclipse of the moon, which was a blood moon. And the prophet so much pointed this out, and he spoke about it. We know it in Shalom, and he used this as a sign. And he says, you know, whenever something happens in the heavens, it's always a sign that something's going to take place on the earth. And then he gives many, many examples about that. And that's why, to me, these blood moons were interesting to me, because it so much fits in with what the prophet had to say. And especially the way they fall on these feast days. Exactly. And this only happens every hundreds and hundreds of years, but it's happened 3 times recently. It happened 1949, happened 1967, and now it's happening. We're right in the middle of the cycle. It started last year, and we're right in the middle of the cycle now. And every single time, it's significant for Israel. Amen. It's very significant. 1949, just after the independence, War of Independence. 1967, the Six-Day War. They possessed the old city of Jerusalem when they were attacked by their enemies from all around. And now we're living in another cycle as well, and it's moving into a certain place. And I just want to show some of the things that the prophet says about this. So the prophet says in end time seed sign, he says, now, what's happened? He's speaking about there have been certain planets lined up, 5 planets lined up in the heavens. He says, we see a roar in the paper, across the television, across the nations, where 5 stars just fell in line with the world. So it was certain planets, constellation that fell in. This is what's 5, a number of grace. Every time those stars come in, something happens on earth. Amen. So the prophet knew that, you know, the same God who wrote the first Bible in the heavens, the same God who put these things for signs and for signals, for seasons, is the same one who gave the word, the same one who has given his prophetic word in the sage. So what happens in the heavens, nothing happens by chance. Amen. And it's an incredible thing to think that the Lord could, you know, put everything in such an orbit. Things can move, and, you know, some of these things take hundreds of years to go around the sun, some of these planets. But God has so much synchronized everything that at certain key junctions, like when Christ was born, the prophet speaks of that lady telling him, even when the prophet was born, you find certain of these planets, he calls them stars, they come in line with one another. And the moment they come in line with one another, it signifies something on the earth. And it affects what's taking place on the earth as well, even in nature. Now, I heard Brother Perry Green's testimony about, you know, his father was born at a certain time, almost the same time as the prophet. And he had such a gift of dreams. You know, the Lord would speak to him so clearly in dreams. And No, he told Brother Branham that, and Brother Branham asked him, when were you born? And he said, on April whatever, 1909. It was very near to the time the prophet was born. And the prophet says, you know, when those things lined up and God gave that gift to the earth once again in the ministry of the prophet, he says, those people that were born just either side, they also got a measure of that as well. Amen. You know, so something that takes place up there, we don't understand those things. You know, we know that Babylon has taken it, Satan's got a hold of it, he's made his astrology, he's made all of his signs of the zodiac and all of that, which is just a perversion of the original truth. But the genuine truth is that God put those stars out there. Amen. God put these planets in motion and in orbit, and when they come together at certain times and seasons, it signifies something. And that's what he's saying. He says every time that they come, something happens on earth. He says, what was it? An introducing of what? So he says, when that happens up there, it's introducing something upon the earth. Not showing that something's going to take place on the earth. Then he continues on. He says, since then, just look what's taken place since those stars lined up. He says, in Germany, it was almost washed off the map. Now, there were great floods in Germany at that time. This is 1962. He says, England had a storm that blew away 70,000 houses in a day. He says, disasters everywhere. California, Los Angeles, like to have washed into the ocean. What is it? The beginning of sorrows. Amen. Earthquakes has picked up everywhere. Five stars come in line. He says, it's grace. No, it was grace to the bride. So I've already found that's quite a powerful thought. Amen. That, you know, whenever we see these things taking place, now they speak about global warming and so forth, and maybe there's some truth to that, because man always destroys himself. But this isn't just global warming. Yeah? Like people say, it should be a global warning. It's a warning of something. When you see these things taking place on earth, when we see these birth pains, when we see this beginning of sorrows, when we see these earthquakes, and they're speaking of how these bigger and bigger magnitude earthquakes are striking more and more regularly now. They say the earth hasn't been in this cycle for however long to see such a shaking of the earth. To see California, the worst drought that it's had for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Yeah, we know that these places are places that are already judged. These are places that are already under a curse. And the prophet says all these things, they signify something. He says it's the beginning of sorrows. Now, that first blood moon, it was last year in July. And you know, immediately after that, Israel got into war. No, there was the war in Gaza. You know, and I mean, Israel, the people shot all the missiles at them. Israel tries to protect and defend itself. Now, Hamas goes and hides its missiles in schools, under houses, and that Israel goes and blows those places up. And everybody in the world gets angry with Israel. You know, all the nations turned against Israel. You know, and Israel used to have a friend called America, but it doesn't have that friend anymore. Amen. And that's one of the real warning signs that we're living in. Amen. The prophet says that's one of the last things that's going to happen to America is when you see America turning against the Jew. Amen. And friends, we're living exactly in that season. Amen. We never thought we're going to see that. When you had Reagan and Bush and all those guys, despite all their failings, but they were friends of Israel. Amen. They would support Israel right through to the end. But now we have a Pharaoh who knows not Joseph. Amen. We have a man who's siding with the Arabs against Israel. Amen. And what Israel wants to do, he's trying to block it at every step of the way. It's a strange, strange time that we're living in. But the prophet told us these things must come. So the first time that eclipse took place, and that Passover, whenever it was last year, you know, all of a sudden we came into a season of war. Now, September 25th was the beginning of this seventh year cycle that we're in now. Remember, we spoke of it several times before. That started September 25th last year. This is the seventh year cycle. This is the Sabbath year. And we know that in the end of 2001, there was a collapse at the end of that cycle. 2008, the Great Recession came in. The economies went down at the end of that cycle. Now, this seventh cycle again, the cycle of sevens, it finishes on September the 13th this year. Yeah. That's the time and the season that we're looking at. So we're right in the middle of this time. So the very beginning of this year, the seventh year, was a significant date. It was September the 25th. That's significant to the Jews. We may not understand their calendar. But what really was interesting to me is exactly on that day, what was released in the press was that cow. I don't know if people saw that picture. There was this cow and its name was Benjamin, which I found was really amazing. It was born with a perfect seven on it. And that photo was released exactly on the first day of this Sabbath year that we're in now. Now, when you think of a cow and you think of seven, you back yours, take yourself back to Egypt. You take yourself back to the days of Joseph. You take yourself right to the time that a famine was about to set in. Amen. I mean, God wanted to show the sign of the cycle of sevens. And there were two cycles of seven. The first cycle of seven was for prosperity. And the second cycle of seven, the seven lean cattle, was a judgment sign. And right at the beginning of the seventh year, this cycle, you find this cow was born. And they call it Ben. And then they, Benjamin. And then they have a big joke and they try to class it like a football player and different things. But to a believer, I really believe that means something. Amen. You know, when that cow was born perfectly marked with a seven, exactly at the same day, on that first day of the year, there was a red heifer born with a seven as well. So there were the two cows with the two sevens. I found it was really quite a powerful thing. Because Pharaoh saw the two sets of sevens. He saw seven cows coming out. Then he saw another seven cows coming out. And it was a judgment sign. It was a sign of an oncoming judgment. And when Joseph now interpreted those things and he could see what they meant, now he told Pharaoh, this is a sign of grace to you, but it's a sign of warning to the nations of the earth. Amen. Now this is a sign that something's moving through a certain cycle. You know, and nothing happens by chance, friends. Amen. Especially a red heifer. We know a red heifer is so significant in the Bible. The waters of separation, where you had to be washed with the waters of separation. If you were unclean, you know, in the days of the tabernacle, the temple, you had to have a red heifer and that to slay the heifer and burn certain parts and take its ashes and mix it with certain things and then sprinkle people to make them clean. It was like a clean animal. It was a ceremonial something. And the Jews had been waiting for red heifer for 2,000 years because they haven't had one. No, there hasn't been a perfect red heifer. And they've always said we cannot have temple worship again until we have a red heifer. Because we can't sanctify the priests. We can't sprinkle them with the waters of separation unless there's a red heifer. And there's been quite a number born. And you know, the Jews got all excited and people got excited. And then it had a blemish because it has to be a heifer without blemish. I don't know if this one's got a blemish. But I just found it was very, very interesting that exactly on that day, at the beginning of this seventh year, as we move in the cycle, you know, knowing that we don't need signs in the heavens when you got the message of the hour to tell us we're in a judgment cycle. No, the prophet told us it's finished for the nations of the earth. Amen. He says you've crossed a line. He says there'll be no more mercy. Amen. In that sense of anything which will be a widespread move of God in mercy upon the peoples of the earth. He says there'll be nothing like that. Now, so you find right at the beginning of that, I really found that was quite interesting. So we then get to the next blood moon that came in October. Now, this is when Israel starts to move into the cycle. When I look at this date of March the 3rd, March the 3rd, we get an eclipse of the sun. We remember just a couple of weeks back. And the prophet always speak about those things as well. And he'll say, just, you know, when the earth comes, the moon comes between the earth and the sun, and whatever way that it works, you get an eclipse of the sun. And the eclipse of the sun is speaking about trouble among the nations. You know, the blood moons, the moons are speaking about trouble amongst Israel. But as always, whenever God deals with Israel, although it may be a time, a sequence of trouble, it's always a time of redemption as well. You know, because whenever God deals with them, they're moving into their redemption cycle. But we as the Gentiles now, it's almost the end of our redemption cycle. Amen. And that's why these signs to the Jews should give them great hope that their redemption is drawing nigh. Amen. But to us as Gentiles, it should really speak unto us to say, you know, that branch that was cut off Israel, it's soon going to be grafted in once again. But then we, the Gentiles, who were grafted in against nature, he said, he's going to cut us off without mercy. And there'll be no more salvation to the Gentiles. So we're moving in this kind of a time. So there comes a total solar eclipse as well, right at the midpoint of the cycle. Now, Netanyahu, a couple of years back, this is 2012, when he started to speak about the threat of Iran and its nuclear missiles, he went to America to speak to President Obama. And he gave him the book of Esther. And it's very interesting that he chose to give him the book of Esther. You know, and then Obama, he took it, and I don't think he ever read it, because if he read it, he'd pay some attention to what it says. But the book of Esther, as much as it's a prophetic book to the bride, it's prophetic as well to the children of Israel. Because in the book of Israel, we find it's in the nation of Persia. It's the nation of Iran. Now, Iran at that time was the superpower of the day. You know, it was the head of gold was Babylon, then came the silver. And that was the Medes and the Persians. So they were the superpower. They were the dominant world power of their day. Just as much as America's been the dominant world power now. But right in that time, in the time of the book of Esther, you find that spirit of Amalek rose up once again. We find there was a man called Haman, the Agagite. We know the story well. Now, he wasn't a Persian. You know, he wasn't of that superpower. But he was a man that was anointed with the spirit of Antichrist. Because he had one desire. He was a descendant of Amalek, the Amalekites. And he had one design, that was to destroy the Jews. And then he hatched up a plan. And what he did, he went, being like a counselor to the king. He went, he was a foreigner. He wasn't a man from that nation. But he went and won favor with the king. King Ahasuerus of that superpower. And he went and he deceived him in that age. And he went and he told him, you know, there's this people amongst the nations, and they don't worship your God. You know, this is an evil people. You need to destroy these people. You need to cut them off. Men, women, children, whosoever they are. Yeah, and the king, not being a spiritual man, not being a man who understood the times, he gave ear to this spirit of Amalek that was upon this man called Haman. Now, Haman was a real type of the Antichrist. Now, Haman was a real type of all of these people that have risen up through the ages and have persecuted the Jews. And the prophet speaks of Hitler and all those different things. But Haman like deceives the king. And the king says, okay, Haman, if you think it's a good idea. He doesn't look into what this really means. He doesn't see that he's about to condemn the most important people in his land to destruction. He just takes off his ring and he gives it to Haman. And he says, no, you do whatever proclamation you want and you seal it with your ring. And Haman, having an evil intent and an evil purpose inside of himself, which he hasn't revealed to the king, he takes it, makes a proclamation, seals it with the king's ring, sends it forth throughout the nation, 127 provinces, that on a such and such a day in the future, the Jews are all going to be destroyed. Amen. And that was obviously the whole aim and ambition that he had in what he did. Now, he was trying to bring things to a certain place, but he knew he couldn't do it without Persia, without the king of Persia backing him up. There was no ways he was going to be able to destroy these Jews. Now, the same nation before Babylon, Persia, Cyrus had granted grace to the Jews. He was the one who said, go back to your homeland, go and rebuild. The Lord God of your fathers has commanded me to support you people so that you can go back into your land. He was from Persia. But now there rises this king in Persia, Ahasuerus, who gets influenced by this man, this Amalekite, Agagite, called Haman. And he influences the man to do something that if God doesn't intervene, it's going to cause a destruction of Israel.
Amen.
And that's just the cycle we're going into now. Because we see an Ahasuerus there now who's forgotten about his forefathers, or Ahasuerus Obama. He's forgotten that Israel was established because of the blessing of America.
Amen.
You know, they defended them, they helped them, supplied them with weapons. In all of their wars, when they've been in trouble, America's always backed up Israel. When the nations have wanted to come and pass all their statutes against Israel in the United Nations, America's always vetoed those things, as well as blocked this evil intent of, you know, the Arabs and the Muslim nations and Russia and those nations against Israel. Until we come to now, just in our age, you find a president now that's an Ahasuerus. You know, and so the Iranians now in our age, Amalek in our day, they go now and they say to Obama, they say, let's make an agreement together. Let's make an agreement that you'll allow us to continue on with our nuclear program. And we'll make promises to you that, you know, we'll be real good boys. No, we won't let you down. You know, we're trustworthy sorts of people and so forth. You know, as those ones that you cross your fingers behind your back, you know, say, yes, I promise, your scout's honor and all that. But that's the kind of agreement the world has just signed with Iran.
Amen.
But before that happened, right from 2012, Netanyahu, we know that his name means a gift from God. He recognized the danger that was coming. And the first thing he did in 2012, he went to Obama and he gave him the book of Esther. You know, and if Obama could have just discerned and said, but you know, why is this man giving me the book of Esther? He would have recognized that Israel was seeing themselves in that story.
Amen.
They could see now that that was a shadow and a type of what they being led into even in this age. So, Obama falls out with Netanyahu in the last couple of years because, you know, Netanyahu is not a man that's going to compromise. So the Congress now in America, they invite Netanyahu to come and say, come and address the Congress and come and tell us of this danger about Iran that's threatening you. And when they invite him, it's a real, real strange thing. Because the date that they set is right at the eve of the festival, the Feast of Purim, which is Esther's feast, which is a time when Israel celebrate the destruction of Haman and his plot. And so these people, not knowing what they're doing, they invite Netanyahu to come. And they break protocol. They don't do this according to order. President Obama gets all frustrated about it, refuses even to come because the leader of Congress invites Netanyahu directly and says, you come and speak to the people of Congress. And Obama says, but this isn't right. It should be me, the leader of the nation, that invites you to come. And straight away you would pick it up. Because that's exactly what Esther almost got into trouble for doing. She came breaking the protocol.
Amen.
She wasn't invited by the king to come and make her supplication.
Amen.
But she came anyhow because of the desperation that she felt for her people. And the strange thing about it is that Esther and Mordecai were of the tribe of Benjamin. And this man's Benjamin. You know, it's just all these parallels and these types. It's a real powerful story, friends, if you get into it. You'll find this is something unfolding itself here. Because God is now starting to turn away from the Gentiles and he's starting to set his face towards Israel. We're in that kind of a cycle and a season. So we find that Netanyahu goes breaking protocol. And he goes and he like makes his plea at Congress. And he shows all about Iran and all the promises they've made and all the things that they've done and all the facilities they've hidden away from the inspectors and so forth. They're not a trustworthy sort of a people. You know, and if you watch it, it's very powerful because Congress gives him, I don't know how many standing ovations. It must be about 14 or 15 of them. They just, you know, it was just really, really a powerful thing that he did. And he comes out of it, and they even say it there. They say, was the date that Benjamin Netanyahu spoke to joint session of U.S. Congress the eve of Purim prophetic? And people realize that this is real strange. This man's being invited to come and speak right at the beginning of Esther's feast. He's given Obama the scrolls of Esther. He's coming now on the Esther's feast. And he comes and he tells them the story of Esther. And he tells them about a conspiracy among the Persians which was going to destroy the children of Israel. And he lays it out. And he's hoping maybe that President Obama would be like President Ahasuerus, would be like Ahasuerus and would recognize the day that he's living in. But Obama gets even more angry with him. And Obama starts waging war. And when it comes now to the elections, Obama sends his team of people to Israel to try to go there to support the opposition to get Netanyahu taken out from being the president of Israel. It's never happened like that before. And it looked like all the polls were saying Netanyahu is doomed, he's doomed, right until polling day. And then they were all surprised when the results came out. The man blasted all of them in the polls, and Netanyahu was still there. I really said, there's still a God in heaven, friends. Amen. And he watches over his people, and he puts in place them that he's ordained to put in place. He puts kings in place, and he removes kings when it's their time to be removed. And the Lord, he knew we need a man like this. He's not a perfect man. I'm not saying that at all. There's things Netanyahu would believe that we wouldn't believe. You know, about same-sex marriage and all those kind of things. We don't agree with a lot of his things. But for the principle that he stands for his people, and for recognizing the day and the hour that he's living in, this is a man who understands the seasons and the times. And he recognizes the danger. But it was very significant that he went at that time. Now, that was March the 3rd. We then get to March the 20th now. We get now to that time of the eclipse. And the sun goes black. And then the prophet says, last year America made her fatal mistake. This is 1957. I said fatal mistake. She sure did. She rejected grace. Remember 1956. So on the spiritual side, the prophet always warned, 1956 is a serious year. It's the year that America is either going to accept or reject grace. And then 1957 he came and he says they rejected it. He said it was a strange thing. He says I had to cancel all my meetings last year. Billy Graham had to cancel all of his foreign meetings and Oral Roberts. He says, and we just crisscrossed the country. He said it was like a final call. And he says, America's either going to accept it or reject it, but I predict she's going to reject it. And she rejected it. And we see what she's coming to now, friends. We know how it's taken time, and it seemed to chug along for quite some time, America and its prosperity. And then it started going down. And then just 2 months ago, we find out that China has overtaken America as the biggest economy in the world. America's been the leader all through this time, but just in this time, as the prophet was saying, he said, America's finished. He says, watch her go down now. And like anything else, when you start going down, you go down slowly, but the quicker, the further down you get, the quicker the descent becomes. And that's exactly what it's become in America. She's going down so rapidly now that she's nothing compared to the nation that was the vision of her founding fathers, the Pilgrim Fathers. She's nothing. When they had their Abraham Lincoln and they had their George Washington, like the prophet says, Israel had their David and their Solomon. And then there came an Ahab. And then there came a Jezebel system behind him. Friends, that's the age that we're living in with America. Amen. There's nothing left but judgment for her. But the prophet says, look what she's doing now. He says, you see it in the government affairs. So the prophet would look at the government affairs. And he says, they're making a fatal mistake. They're trying to go right over and hook up with the Arabs. It's a fatal mistake, friends. Amen. To go and hook up with the Arabs. The Persians and all of those ones there. Don't you know God's word says, ever who curses Israel will be cursed? Certainly. He says, I stand with Israel. Amen. And any believer will stand with Israel. Amen. I don't understand believers who speak against Israel. Amen. They have their faults just like you and I have our faults. But touch not mine anointed, the Lord says, and do my prophets no harm. Amen. Abraham wasn't a perfect man. But when people try to do things against him, God took it personally. Amen. When he went down there in Egypt and then the king was going to go, the Pharaoh was going to take his wife, God took it personally. Amen. And when he went into Gerar there and the king of the Philistines was going to take his wife as well and took Sarah into his harem, and then the Lord plagued them all with a plague. Amen. And then the Lord says, you go and call my servant, he's my prophet. Amen. Despite the fact that he lied to you, and despite the fact that he's not in his position, but you call him to come and pray for you and you'll be healed. Amen. Yeah, and that Philistine, he was a spiritual man. He said, look, I did it out of the integrity of my heart. I didn't know that this was this man's wife. And the Lord says, I know. And that's why I stopped you from sinning and going any further on this. But there's something about God's people. No, don't look at the outward. The prophet says people are always looking on the back parts. Like Balaam always wants you to go. The king tried to get Balaam to look at the back parts of Israel. No, to show them, but look at this and look at that and look at the other. But the prophet says, God doesn't look on the back parts. Amen. God looks at Israel as the apple of his eye, the Bible says. This is his children. When Joseph was there, and he said to his brothers, bring your young brother down. They said, we can't bring Benjamin down. Now, if he is lost, his life is bound up in the life of our father. And the prophet says, that's how Israel is. Amen. He says, their life, their livelihood is bound up in the life of Jehovah. Amen. He won't just let things fall apart like that. He won't let people touch them like that. And we know there's a Benjamin group now that's forming there. And that's why it's very significant the way things are going. The prophet says, I stand with Israel. Take our ground or take it. Certainly, the Arabs went in the wrong thing. They never went in the right thing. They're not following the right thing. The covenant people of God or Israel. Amen. They're the ones that have been given that land. They're the ones that have been given that inheritance. Amen. And that covenant will never fail. God hasn't forgotten his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, they may have been out of the land in their chastisement for a season, but the cycle's moving back into place once again. Amen. And Satan recognizes that cycle as well. Because the moment Israel started to move back, you find all these nations start coming against Israel as well. You just find, like the prophet says, that little spot in Israel, that little place, the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. It's such an insignificant little place compared to what all the nations of the world have. But it's the most contended spot in all the earth. You know, there's always warfare going on. There's always political warfare. There's so many things taking place just to try to get that spot. And the prophet says, why? He says, because that's the place that God has anointed. Amen. That's where the new city, Jerusalem's going to come up. That's where the Messiah is going to come down and be crowned in the millennium and so forth. and Satan knowing that you see all of these things coming against Israel. And the prophet warned that when America does that, watch out.
Amen.
He says, brother, look at every nation that ever turned against the Jews. They sunk.
Amen.
Where's Egypt now? Where is Pharaoh and his great, great palaces and his great works that he built? 30 feet under the sand. Egypt's a third world country. Where's the great Egyptian empire? It's nowhere. Where's the great Roman empire? You know, Titus and them came against Jerusalem. Yes, they had to do it. They had to come and destroy the place according to prophecy. But then all of those legions, you know, the big men, if you go and read history, they were given rewards. You know what their reward was? They were given lands around Pompeii. Farmlands around Pompeii. And they all went back and they retired and they said, yeah, we destroyed these Jews and all that. Off they went to Pompeii. And about 2 years later, Vesuvius erupted and buried them all.
Amen.
And the prophet speaking about Los Angeles said, it'll be worse than the last days of Pompeii.
Amen.
There was a type of the destruction in the end. You know, although God will use a nation to discipline Israel, then he judges that nation severely.
Amen.
You know, that's exactly how God does his things. And that's how the prophet said, look at Germany. When she turned against the Jews, look at what it is today. That was in the 50s. Now, Germany was a basket case. It was bombed to pieces. He says, look at Italy. When they turned against the Jews, when Mussolini ousted them from Italy. Look at her today.
Amen.
If he wasn't feeding them, they'd be starved to death. That's what Italy came to. But think of the great days of the Caesars of Rome. When the Roman Empire stretched from coast to coast. What was a great mistake that they made? When a nation turns against Israel.
Amen.
And that's why when you look inside of the Word, we don't see the Aztec Empire in here. We don't see the American empires that were there before. No, we don't see anything inside of it. The great empires in Africa, the great empires in China and so forth. God pays no attention to them. You know, all of the empires that he speaks of in here, Babylon and Persia and Greece and Rome, you know why he puts them in here? Because they had something to do with Israel.
Amen.
The only reason he puts them inside of here is because they had some influence and bearing on what God was doing with his people, Israel.
Amen.
And that's why in history, God just focuses on Israel. That's the most important thing to him. All these other nations are just secondary to him. But that nation that blesses Israel, they'll be blessed. And you saw it for those hundreds of years from 1776. You see the place that America gave to the Jew, the prophet says. Now, so many of the great men were Jewish. You know, Benjamin Franklin, whoever the different people were, great. You know, they so much had a respect to the Jew and they opened their doors and allowed America to become a refuge and a homeland for the oppressed people of the earth, especially the Jews. But now there's another wind that's blowing.
Amen.
There's another kind of wind blowing upon the political scene. And we see not only the nations of the earth, but we see America turning against Israel. And people are shocked by it. Just something happened the other day, and they actually said it on the internet, Jerusalem Post. They said when this was published of what President Obama said, they said even the people in the newsroom, their jaws dropped. They couldn't believe that a president of America would say that against Israel.
Amen.
And at the same time now, when Obama's turning against Israel, what's he doing? Making friends with Iran. Making friends. Like I say, he's making enemies of all of America's previous friends, and he's making friends with all of America's previous enemies. He's just been to Cuba to make friends with Cuba. And even the Cuban people, all the refugees in Florida, I say, we don't want anything to do with that man Castro that's there, Raul. But Obama's going and making friends with all of these people that were enemies before. Friends, it just has to be like that.
Amen.
But it's a sign of the times that something has changed. And when we see things taking place in the heavens, a forerun something that's taken place upon the earth.
Amen.
And friends, this cycle is only beginning. It's not yet ending. Now, this cycle against Israel and this cycle against spiritual Israel, watch how it gains pace. Watch how it gains momentum as you go forth from now. And that one there of that calf with the seven on its head. Watch what's coming, friends. I don't ever put dates or times. It could be, I don't know when. But watch the economies go down. Because the prophet already told us.
Amen.
He already told us there'll be a trap. He says, and Rome will be behind it all. And he says, watch when those economies go down. He says, it'll be a money trap. They'll sell out their birthright, he says, like Esau did for a plate of pottage. So we know that these economies are going to go. Last week, the economies, the stock market hit a record. It's never been as prosperous.
Amen.
Yet all of the serious economists who know what they're speaking about, they're all saying, we don't understand why this is happening. Because none of the problems from before have been fixed. It says, in fact, it's got worse. The things that caused the economy to collapse twice in each of these 7-year cycles, that hasn't been addressed. In fact, it's got worse. And they're building up this house of cards. And they're building it higher and higher. And friends, just one of these days, someone's going to come and blow it down. And I believe that with all my soul. And I'm sure you do as well. You can feel it inside of yourself. There's an uneasiness out there.
Amen.
It's something false about all the things that's taken place. This recovery that they speak about and all these things taking place. Friends, it's just transitory. It's not going to last. And when it goes down this time, it's going down big time. Last time they managed to prop it up and print money and pour it in and get things moving in a measure once again. But this third cycle, when it goes down, it's really going down. Because the prophet told us, he says, America's bankrupt. He says, not only America, he says, all of the nations are bankrupt. No, he says, it's a false economy. And we see we're moving in that cycle. So the prophet speaks about that. So Obama makes now this covenant now with Iran. And it was a secret thing. He meets them in secret. He's speaking to them in secret. And that's when Israel got wind of it some time back. And Netanyahu flew across there and gave him the book of Esther and said, hey, please, you can't trust these people. Their whole slogan is death to Israel, death to America. No, their whole culture they grew up in, their whole religion. You know, they won't even print Israel on their maps. Israel is not even something a genuine fundamental Muslim will not mention the name of Israel. It's a curse to them. And Netanyahu tries to plead and say, look, if you're going to make some agreement with these people, put some safeguards. Because once you open the way up for these guys to get nuclear weapons, the future of Israel is threatened. We're going to have to do something about it. And Obama totally ignores it. And he says, no, we know what we're doing. And he sets a date. And that date was March 31st. And he says, we've set a date of March 31st that we're going to finalize this agreement with Iran concerning the lifting the sanctions on them and allowing them to go forward with their nuclear, whatever they need to do. But we're going to be watching them carefully. Yeah, we understand that kind of watching carefully. And they called it, the New York Times, Obama's unforgivable betrayal. You can see even the way that these people here who are seeing what's going on, they understand. An unforgivable betrayal. This was a betrayal, friends, of Israel. And then they say, this is dated March 31st, the very day they were supposed to finalize the deal. Iran nuclear talks get 1-day extension, U.S. confirms. And we spoke about the other Wednesday. But it's very interesting, this point. They were supposed to conclude their deal on the 31st of March, and Obama comes on the 31st and says, we're going to give it 1-day extension. And then they signed the deal on the 1st of April. Obama's Iran deal falls on an ominous Bible date. So it doesn't get signed on the day it's supposed to. Something pushes it just 1 day onto the 1st of April. Now the 1st of April in the Hebrew calendar is the 13th of Nisan, the 13th day of the first month. That's where it falls this year. So when they sat down and they... Here came Haman, and here came Ahasuerus, and here came all of his advisors, and they sat down and they signed this decree and sealed it with their seal that dooms Israel down the way, because Iran's going to get nuclear weapons. It was on a significant day. It was on April the 1st. Now, in the book of Esther, 3 verse 12, then were the king's scribe called on the 13th day of the first month. And there was written according to all that Haman had commanded. And if you've been watching these talks, America's compromised on everything what it started saying it wasn't going to allow Iran to do. And Iran's been commanding. We want this, we want that, we want that. If you don't do this, and America's just given in. It's like Haman, everything which he wanted in this deal he got. And yet his agenda behind it all was the destruction of Israel. And the Iranians are getting it. And it was signed on exactly the same day in the calendar when it was signed in the book of Esther. which is another sign from the book of Esther, which is Nisan 13, April the 1st. And you wonder how those things happen. You know how God can be so much in control of events that he can just say this doesn't quite fit the prophetic timetable and he pushes it to the next day. And just some little something, maybe they couldn't get something right, and then all of a sudden everything fell in place on that day and they signed the agreement. Exactly as it was written in the book of Esther. Now, they've signed the agreement. Netanyahu now is feeling under pressure because he knows if this agreement goes into place, the only way Israel's going to survive, they're going to have to go and bomb those nuclear facilities in Iran. That's the only thing that they can do now. There's nothing left. Whereas before he was hoping maybe America's going to threaten them and America's going to put these safeguards in place. The prophet says the third vision was in the realm of world politics, which showed that there would be three great isms: fascism, Nazism, communism. The first two would be swallowed up into the third. The voice admonished, "Watch Russia.
Amen.
Watch Russia. Keep your eye on the King of the North."
Amen.
And now as we see America giving it all in, you see Russia stepping into the gap. And this is an opportunist nation. Friends, that man Putin is a man that's driven. He's a man that's anointed for the end time. He's a man that stepped right into his prophetic place. And he's taken his nation right into the place that the scripture says that they must be. The King of the North. Ezekiel 38. Because in the end, they've got to come against Israel. Gog and Magog, I put a hook in your jaws and I'll draw you down and you'll come against my people that are dwelling in safety and so forth. You know it in the Bible.
Amen.
The King of the North, the angel of the Lord told the prophet, watch Russia. Watch the King of the North. We were just speaking about it the other day. It wasn't Brother Branham that said, watch Russia. It was the angel of the Lord who said, watch Russia. This was nothing to do with Brother Branham's background or where he was living. This was to do with prophecy. It was a vision that he saw. And he saw fascism and he saw Nazism be swallowed up into communism. And then communism seems to go quiet for a season and now we just see Russia rising up in the end time and America losing its dominion and another nation taking preeminence. Watch Russia. Now what does Putin do at this time? He goes to Iran. Russia opens way to missile deliveries to Iran. Starts oil for goods swap just last week.
Amen.
Friends, they want to give Iran these huge missiles, SS-700 anti-aircraft missiles. And the moment Iran gets these missiles, Israel will never be able to bomb those facilities. Can you see how the devil works?
Amen.
Yeah, he works on all sides. He makes America go against Israel, makes America sign an agreement with Iran, so they can develop these weapons. And then Israel's thinking, that's okay. We let them go so far, then we're going to bomb them like we did in Syria, like we did to Saddam Hussein in Iraq when he built his nuclear reactors. We bombed them before. And then what does the devil do? He says, okay, let me play my next move. And he puts his piece there. Gang. And here comes Putin to Iran and says, we've just signed an agreement which we had agreed on some years back. We're going to give Iran these advanced missile systems. Friends, if this isn't ratcheting the pressure up on Israel, I don't know what is. Because now there's a deadline. Now they've got a deadline. The moment these missiles are supplied, Israel can't allow that.
Amen.
And Putin warned Israel yesterday and said, just be careful what you do when we deliver these missiles. It's not going to go well for you if you do something to this delivery of missiles. Friends, you can really see that things are moving into place.
Amen.
And imagine if Israel goes and attacks Iran, bombs those places. These are nuclear facilities. You think Iran's just going to sit there and not use its multitudes of missiles and fight back? And Iran says, if that happens, we're going to close the Gulf of whatever it is so that the oil tankers can't go through. We'll paralyze the world economy. And you think, well, friends, if September the 11th caused the world economy to shake and slide down until they panicked about it, I don't know what this kind of a thing is going to do.
You
know, it's that kind of an event. So this is what they're saying now. Would a new Russian missile system make Israeli airstrikes on Iran impossible? Everyone can see what this means. And there's the missiles. Russian interference leaves Israel no choice. Bolton, who was ambassador, American ambassador before, is a friend of Israel. Israel speeding up decision to bomb Iran nuclear facilities. Friends, why? When you see those blood moons, trouble for Israel. Amen. That's what it signifies. When you see that, friends, it's foretelling something that's going to take place. It's foretelling the nations of the earth. The prophet says, what does this forerun? What does this mean? We can see the world moving into this kind of a cycle. So finally, we get to Passover. We had a blood moon. We know that. That's where we're sitting at now. There's just one more to go. And the last one that comes in, when it comes in September the 15th, or whenever that it is, it's directly above Jerusalem. It's very interesting. Mm-hmm. It's called a super moon. It's when the moon is the closest to the earth that it can get. So it's as big as it possibly can be. And it's going to be directly over Jerusalem. And I find that very significant. Amen. Now, we don't put dates. We don't put seasons. We don't put times. The prophet didn't do that either. But we know the times and the seasons that we're living in. Friends, this world is moving into a cycle. It's been moving for quite some time. Amen. You can feel it inside of yourself that this isn't what used to be. No, things have changed. The nations are putting themselves in the prophetic positions just as much as the Bible said. In the book of Zechariah, it says all nations will come against Jerusalem. Amen. All nations. No one's going to be defending them. And if Christ doesn't come and defend them at that time, the time of Jacob's trouble, they would have been doomed. They would have been done away with. Amen. And we can just see we're moving into that cycle. Now, I'll just take it from some quotes now from the token message, just to try to tie it in a little bit with what the prophet says. The prophet says in the token message, now let's get ourselves back to what was happening down in Egypt. We can see there was a Pharaoh that rose that knew not Joseph. There was a Pharaoh who hated Israel, hated those Jews. You know, he had put to death their children when Moses was born. They were mud daubers and slaves and all that kind of a thing. But the prophet says, just when God was coming to judge them now, which was the Passover, he says, they were redeemed before there was anything that happened. So before that death angel, judgment fell in its fullness there upon Egypt, God sent them redemption.
Amen.
God sent them a token. Now we'll apply it to ourselves. The prophet says, before the wrath of God passed through the land, the blood had to be applied first. It was too late after the wrath had done fallen. So many people, they wait. Like we said before, that's like being a foolish virgin. You wait for the events to happen and then you react to the events. But that's not the way that it's supposed to be.
Amen.
You know, it's not supposed to be like it. You shouldn't be waiting for the midnight cry to say, the bridegroom cometh, and then you're waking up and saying, but do I have this oil? Do I have this token in my lamp? We shouldn't be waiting for the events to transpire. God in His grace, He tries to warn before the event. And friends, He's very gracious. He does it through His Word. He does it in the heavens. He does it in so many ways. Trying to get people to stop and to say, hey. The cycle that you're moving into now, something's about to take place. This is what the prophet told us. The children of Israel knew. The prophets heard from God. And He's come and told us that there's going to be judgment striking at midnight. But God gave a provision of grace. But friends, this was a very particular provision of grace. Now, this wasn't just anything to protect yourself in that hour. This was Jehovah's required token, the prophet says. This was something that God gave to the people at this time, and nothing else would stand in that day.
Amen.
Nothing else. And it's the same as what God has done to us through the message of the hour.
Amen.
God has released the third pool token. He's given the token, friends, and that's the only thing that's going to stand.
Amen.
When the things fall apart. That's the only thing. And when Moses came and warned the people, he says, I've heard from God.
Amen.
God has told me things are going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a different requirement now. Mm-hmm. Now, just your normal circumcision, your normal worship before was good. But now is the evening time.
Amen.
Now is the time that Jehovah's wrath is about to strike the earth. Everything's moved into place. Israel, the superpowers, put their hand upon the children of God one time too many. That's what it was at that time.
Amen.
It was coming into a judgment hour. Now listen how he explains it. He says, now, we have a lesson here. Maybe bring it to your thought for just a moment. Look, before it happened. For there's coming a time where you'll not be able to have any blood applied. Now friends, I really do believe any genuine believer should take that very seriously. That there's coming a time, we're moving in that cycle. Now that these days where God's mercy and grace is still reaching out to you to say, get yourself under the blood.
Amen.
Get the token on display in your life. Those days are numbered, friends.
Amen.
They're absolutely numbered.
Amen.
It's not only the word, but the signs around us are pointing to that they're numbered, friends. They're numbered. And how easy that it is, friends, for us to just fall asleep. No, to trust and rest in so many different things. But I would say at these kind of times, it should be a checking up time. Because in those days, if you were a genuine believer, you would have gone and looked on your house. And you would have said, but have I met Jehovah's requirement?
Amen.
Has this been done exactly the way that God's prophet told us? Because this is the only thing that's going to withstand judgment. And we've got to do it exactly the way that God told Moses. If we don't do it the right way, no matter how sincere we are, it's not going to stand what's coming upon the earth. And friends, that's exactly where we're standing as well. And that's how the prophet says it had to be applied before. He says, therefore, as the evening shadows are appearing, and the wrath is ready to be poured out from on high upon the ungodly nations. We saw the other Wednesday, the prophet says, these ungodly nations with these missiles in the hands of ungodly men. He says it won't take much one of these days for someone to shoot one of their missiles. It gets into the screen and everybody will start letting things loose. Friends, we're living in that kind of an age. The prophet would speak about it. He says, now we are living in the shadows. And the wrath is ready to strike. And God is requiring a token. That you yourself has received his token. And he's going to explain it to us. But friends, I don't know if there's anything as serious as the token message.
Amen.
Now, when we really go and look at this requirement of what the prophet says the token is. And friends, the token has to be on display. Now, the token has to be on public display, the prophet says. He says it's the only way. And the only sign that God will ever pass. Because it is the literal life of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Returned back into a believer.
Amen.
Friends, the literal life of Jesus himself. Is he living in you? Do you have the token? Do you have the literal life, that real life that was in the blood when he died on the cross? And then the blood was shed for the remission of sin and the blood cell was broken. And the life that was in the blood, the token, the real Holy Ghost himself. The prophet says that's the only thing that's going to stand. Nothing else is going to stand. It's not our sincerity, friends. It's not how much we know the message. It's not how much we know anything else. It's the literal life of the Lamb. In you.
Amen.
That's the only thing that's going to withstand judgment. He says, God is requiring it. The literal life returned back upon the believer once again. Then he goes on and he says, if I can just find my next quote, sorry, here. He says, it's the very life of Christ itself. But listen how he speaks about it being a grace token. He says, what if you had committed a crime? And you were going to be tried, and you knew that you were going to die. Imagine you had done something, and you were facing up to judgment, and that judgment was getting closer and closer and closer each day. And you knew that you were guilty, and that you were going to have to face up to the judge, and you were going to be found guilty. That's a fearful thing. But that's what's coming upon this earth.
Amen.
This earth for its crimes, these nations for their sins. The judge and his judgment come day by day ever closer. And we see the signs all around.
Amen.
You know, and every single day, we're one day closer to that. We're one day closer to the judge saying, enough. I like what somebody once said, I heard them preach, and they said that, you know, when that judge takes that gavel in his hand and he's heard the case. And it comes now for him to deliver his verdict. And he strikes it down as a guilty. That means judgment. There's no going back anymore.
Amen.
Once he strikes that gavel down, blah, time shall be no more.
Amen.
Let him that is filthy be filthy still.
Amen.
It's now judgment. And there's no going back. If you try at that time to plead for mercy, you try at that time to put yourself under the blood, there's no more blood anymore.
Amen.
You now have to face up to the judge. And imagine what a frightening thing it is, friends, if you know. Remember, the prophet speaks about Lee Harvey Oswald, who shot Kennedy. You know, before he was killed by Ruby, whatever the guy's name was. But the prophet spoke and says, imagine being in Oswald's shoes today, knowing that you killed the president of the United States of America. Knowing that there's an angry nation, knowing that there's the judgment of the nation for you to be put to death. So imagine being in that man's shoes, just for killing the president of America. Friends, imagine being guilty of turning down the blood of the Lamb. Imagine. Imagine in that day when Moses comes and he's vindicated by God. It wasn't just a psychology that Moses came with.
Amen.
There was the pillar of fire.
Amen.
There was the plagues of Egypt. God vindicated that Exodus prophet.
Amen.
And then the ministry moved into a phase and Moses called the people together and said, I've heard from God.
Amen.
It's moving into another cycle now, friends. Now you need to apply the token.
Amen.
Now this blood has to be applied on every home, every house, every believer.
Amen.
Because judgment is coming. The 14th day at midnight.
Amen.
It moved into that cycle. And God had vindicated it. Friends, what are we going to do if we turn it down? What are we going to do, the prophet says, with this Jesus called Christ? He says, we have Jesus on our hands. You know, and he's explaining. He says, imagine now you knew you were guilty. And there's this judgment and you know I'm doomed. The fear that you would have. He says, but if you knew you were guilty and you must die, if you didn't get some attorney to represent you, someone who could get you out of that thing. Now, you'd want to have the best attorney that you could get. And then even getting an attorney that was a good, shrewd attorney, you know, you could relax a little bit because you had an attorney. But there would still be a question whether this attorney could change the judge mind. He says, maybe you might get relaxed for a few minutes. But still, there'd be a question in your mind, can he do it? He says, but in this case, our case, the judge himself has taken our turn.
Amen.
God became a man.
Amen.
There was no attorney could do it. He says, Moses couldn't do it. The law, the prophets couldn't plead on our behalf. We were guilty. So the judge became both jury, attorney, and judge himself.
Amen.
That's grace. That's absolute grace. When the judge is about to pour out the vials of his wrath upon this age, he's going to pour out his wrath without mixture, without being diluted, his undiluted wrath. Imagine that same God who's going to judge the world is the same one who came down for you and I and took our judgment upon himself.
Amen.
He didn't only become our attorney, he became the jury, he became the judge.
Amen.
And the prophet says he paid the price of it. How much more secure could we be? And he sent his own life back upon us as a witness that he's accepted us.
Amen.
And that's what the token is, friends.
Amen.
The token, the real life of Christ, the real Holy Ghost himself. If you've never received that, God hasn't yet borne witness that he was your judge,
Amen.
That he stood your judgment. Now, there's still a requirement that hasn't been met somewhere.
Amen.
Just as much as Israel, if they hadn't got the fullness of the blood on the two side posts and on the lintel of the door, and the judgment was coming, they could go out and look and say, but is this token displayed the way that it should be displayed? If they looked and they said, but this isn't according to what God revealed to his prophet. This which we've got in our door. Doesn't matter if you just put it on one lintel, friends. Doesn't matter whatever else that you did. When that death angel came at midnight, it visited your home. And the judgment would come on you just as much on anybody else. But there was no need for it because God had already said, take the lamb and let my judgment go on the lamb. And then take his blood and put it upon the door. And when my judgment comes, it's going to see this person is already represented in judgment.
Amen.
The lamb has already taken this person's judgment.
Amen.
That's why he says he sends it back as a witness to us. He says the very life of Christ itself. Then coming to a close, he gets real particular about it. He says, speaking of the token, he says, the blood of the lamb is a token for you. Israel's lamb slain was Jehovah's required token. So we know that it's Christ who died for us. We know he shed his blood for us. We know that he was judged for us. We know the prophet says the word became flesh and became blood and was judged and the word bled for us. So Christ has already been judged, and he's the word. He says, God made a token, and he gave it to Israel, and no other token will work.
Amen.
It cannot be recognized. To the world, it's a bunch of foolishness. But to God, it's the only way. It must be there. And you cannot have the token until the fare is paid. So when you get onto the bus and you want to get to a certain destination, they tell you, look, this is very particular, this ticket, this token, for this particular journey, and this is the price that needs to be paid. You need to have this ticket to go on this journey. And then if you would take the fare and pay the fare, they would now give you the token. And you could look at that token, a very peculiar token for the journey that you need to take. And you could have a confidence to say, I've got the token.
Amen.
And the prophet's saying exactly the same thing. He says, the full price has been paid already by Christ. But until we accept it, until we completely accept it,
amen,
and bring ourselves under it,
amen,
to apply the token, no matter how much he paid the price, it doesn't help you.
Amen.
And it doesn't help me. And he says the blood was a token that God's, that Jehovah's requirement had been met. The blood was a token, a substitute for the life in the hour of judgment. So in the hour of judgment, there's got to be something that is going to stand on your behalf. There's got to be a substitute that when death comes, judgment comes, there's got to be something like the blood on the door for you. And then he says in that day, the blood they put was chemistry. Because there was an animal, there was a lamb. That lamb had no soul. So that life in that blood of the lamb couldn't come back into the worshipper. So just as a symbol of it, a token, they would take that blood and to show they really believed that message. To show they really believed that Moses had heard from God. They would do exactly what Moses had said. And they would apply the token exactly the way that God had revealed to Moses.
Amen.
And when they did it, and they applied it, God respected it.
Amen.
God witnessed to it.
Amen.
And said, there's no more condemnation here. There's no more judgment. Now the prophet says, under this covenant, it's not a lamb, it's the lamb.
Mm-hmm.
He says, so when you come and you fully accept what Christ did for you, and you bring yourself in full obedience to the word. Because the word has been judged for us.
Amen.
The word is our lamb that's already been slain, this bleeding word. So when we come willingly,
amen,
and we submit ourselves under the bleeding word, this specific token for this age, this specific word message,
amen,
for this specific journey that we need to take, this token only came into existence in evening time, the prophet says. They didn't have this before Exodus 12. And this message, and this life of the Lamb, it's only been displayed in the evening time through the message of the hour. And friends, if we will judge ourselves guilty,
amen,
and we'll go and be sincere before Him in His anointed presence and say, Lord,
amen,
where in my life am I not under the token?
Yes.
Where in my life am I not under the anointed word?
Amen.
Because the prophet says, full obedience. Once you fully get there,
amen,
God will witness it,
amen,
with the Holy Ghost,
amen,
which is the literal life of the Lamb will come into you.
Amen.
And then everybody will see it in you.
Amen.
He says it was a public display. Amen. Everybody passing by could see. These people believe Moses' message,
amen,
because the blood was on display.
Amen.
Our friends, I read it that other week. We sometimes seek refuge in a refuge of lies. Be
amen
careful.
Amen.
Sisters,
yeah,
it's not only how we dress. It's not just the way we conduct ourselves. Those things are good and we have to do those things. But those things don't withstand judgment.
Hallelujah.
It's the literal life of Christ in you. That's the only thing.
Amen.
That's the only thing. Is that as God has borne witness, He's looked down and said, I'm your judge. I'm your attorney. You fully accepted it. You've accepted my grace provision. You've accepted my token in this age. You've brought yourself willingly, fully in subjection. You've yielded. You've given it all to me. God comes down and bears witness now.
Amen.
And says, there's no judgment for you. Because you're represented by Him that's already been judged. And that's what the prophet's speaking about here. He brings it real close home. Then he speaks about it here. He says, speaking about the evening shadows and so forth. He says, don't you rely upon no speaking in tongues. I know that well from Pentecost, friends. It's very easy to rely on something else. He says, no, nothing else, but let the token itself be there.
Amen.
The person of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
His own life in you.
Amen.
Circumcised. Not just this or that, but circumcising your whole being. Friends, it's a serious thought.
Amen.
It's a serious thought. There's no halfway believer who's going to stand in the judgment.
Nope.
You can't be a halfway believer and expect your halfway believing is going to protect you when the wrath of the Lamb comes down. It's not going to. That's a refuge of lies.
Amen.
That's building your house on the sand. Just living your own life. You know? Not even worrying about what the word says. Not even bringing yourself under subjection to God's anointed word for this age. Just living any way you want.
Mm.
Any relationships you want. Marrying who you want. Doing this, doing that, friends.
Mm.
That's not a life that's under the token.
Amen.
Because the token is the anointed word. Which already has been judged. It's the life that was in the Lamb Himself.
Amen.
So we've got to come fully under the Lamb. We've got to be fully under Him.
Amen.
And when He comes to deal with us and say, you need to circumcise this in your life. This is going to be judged. Paul says it at communion service. It's as if we would judge ourselves. We wouldn't be judged with the world.
Amen.
And that's why the token message, it's a message of grace, but it's a serious message, friends.
Amen.
To get people to go and say, go and be serious. Like Israel was as they waited for midnight to come. And they girded up their loins and they set their faces towards whatever they were required to do. And they went and they made sure.
Amen.
And they took a stock and they knew we're not allowed any leaven in our homes. It's got to be unleavened bread and they would remove all the leaven.
Amen.
Now sometimes, friends, it sounds like it's a law requirement. It's not a law requirement. It's a grace requirement. Because God's made a provision, but He doesn't meet us where we are. We've got to come under the provision that He's made for us. It was only one token, one thing that was going to stand in the hour of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And friends, that's what this message of the hour is all about.
Yes.
That's why when the message comes and stands on your toes, instead of saying, ouch, you should say, praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
That's why when the word comes your way and says, stop playing with the world.
Amen.
It's God's grace to you.
Amen.
That's why when the word comes to you and says, get yourself in prayer, humble yourself. No, yield yourself to the word. Let the life of the Lamb have a preeminence inside of your life. We're not saying it just for nothing, friends. It's the only thing that's going to stand.
Amen.
Nothing else is going to stand.
Amen.
Coming to church isn't going to help you.
Amen.
You know, doing whatever religious acts you do, it doesn't matter. Pay your tithes, it's good, but that's not enough. Anything that we do, it's only the token. That's the only refuge. That's Jehovah's only provided place. Everything else is going to be judged. All other religion is going to be judged. No matter how sincere people are, they'll go into a tribulation and be purged in the tribulation. But friends, the token is the Lamb Himself. Amen. And it's your personal relationship with the Lamb Himself. Amen. Your life in respect to His life. Amen. And is His life in you? Friends, it's a serious thought. I'll finish up here. He says, now, as we look in Egypt, look, now we see what they did as the time was appearing, and we commanded to do the same thing. You know, so they were serious about this issue because they knew who this prophet was. They knew what that pillar of fire meant. They knew that this is a judgment sign. This is evening time. Judgment's about to fall in its fullness upon Egypt. There's going to be an exodus. God's going to take His people out of this place. And Jehovah had only one requirement, which was the token. Make sure the token is on display. Make sure the token is on display. And he goes on and he speaks about, he says, death is in the land today. He says, judgment is waiting, pending. Atomic and hydrogen and all kinds of disasters is waiting for the nations. You know the problem, friends, that if you don't get yourself in the spirit of the message, these things become a song. They just become music to your ears. You know, you'll sit there and say, yeah, it's true. You know, judgment's coming upon the nation. But it doesn't do anything to you. It doesn't bring any desperation. Doesn't bring an urgency to check up your own walk with God. Friends, let, you know, I sent something to Brother James the other day, and there was a certain man that used to be with Brother Branham, and he said something which really struck me. He says, I went and I looked at all my books in my library the other day. He said, and I said to myself, are these books going to rise up in judgment against me on that day? That's a thought to think about, my friend. Are these books going to rise up in judgment against us? No, we pack these books around and we say, you know, I believe the message and all that. But are we doing what it says? Are we taking seriously what it says? Because if we don't, the same message is going to come back one day. And the Lord's going to ask us, why? Why? Amen. I couldn't do anything more for you. Amen. Why? Amen. Why? It's serious, friends.
Amen.
I thought of that. I said, Lord, I don't want this book to rise up and condemn me on that day. I want to search this book, and where this anointed prophet said this is wrong, I want to say that's wrong. And then this anointed prophet says you need to do this, I want to do that.
Amen.
Because the prophet says full obedience to the word entitles you to the token.
Amen.
Because you're saying, you know, it might cost you everything. But friends, it's worth it all.
Amen.
It's more than worth it all. He says that God is moving. He says, we've been keeping the Lamb up for a while, watching it. But now the token has got to be applied. He says, you might have been reading the message, you might have been watching this, that, and the other. He says, but let me warn you people. He says, you Branham Tabernacle. He says, you Brother Neville. He says, the time of fooling around must come to an end.
Amen.
He says, the token has to be displayed. And then I'll finish with this quote. He says, you should love one another. That's the token.
Amen.
Believers should separate themselves from the world.
Amen.
That's a requirement of the token. Don't just take it lightly. You people that's listening on this tape, you men, you women, listen for a minute. If you ever believe me, you believe it now. It's time to quit fussing with one another.
Amen.
Believe the message of the Bible.
Amen.
Believe Jesus Christ. Love, honor, respect one another.
Mm-hmm.
Men, respect your wives.
Mm-hmm.
Respect your homes. Bring your home together, because remember, this Lamb was for the home, not just for one.
Mm.
Love one another. Believers should separate themselves from the world.
Amen.
Notice they were not just yet to come together to talk about the message. They will come together to apply the blood.
Amen.
To apply the token.
Amen.
That's what you must do.
Amen.
Well, friends, things are moving somewhere.
Amen.
And one of these days, friends, we're going to close this Bible for the last time.
Amen.
One of these days, we're going to have the last service that we ever have. And every service we meet, it's one more ticked off.
Amen.
And I believe that number's not great anymore.
Amen.
Every day that you rise up with breath in your lungs and God's grace still upon you, you know, that's another day, but one of these days of grace are going to end.
Amen.
And we don't just say it because we want to say it. God has vindicated it, friends.
Amen.
He's vindicated it because a prophet is a judgment sign. He's vindicated it in the heavens. He's vindicated in everything that's taken place around us. And when I read these things, I just say one thing. I just say, Lord, I want to hide myself in the rock of ages. I just want to hide myself in you. Now, anything that's contrary to him, friends. Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? He says, if your right hand offends, you'd rather cut off that hand and go into eternal life with one hand than to have two hands and to have your soul lost at that time. Friends, we can gain all the friendship of the world. We can have all the people speaking well of us. We can achieve all of our own aims, our own ambitions, do all the things that we desire to do and still be the most miserable people of all the earth.
Amen.
Because he gave us the greatest privilege that ever could have been given. He gave us an opportunity for the token.
Amen.
And we never took the opportunity that we had. Let's think about it, friends. As we'd go home, pray about it. Go and get the message of the token. Listen to it. Listen to how the prophet pleads with the people and says to them, you people, please, quit fooling around. It's time now.
Amen.
The token must be applied. Let's stand. Let's worship saints come to a time of prayer. Let's sing that song, oh my loving brother, when this world is on fire. Don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages. Rock of ages, cliff for me.
Day is coming, what an awful day it will be. Christ forever is my refuge, rock of ages, cleft for me. Oh my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, pray for me. At the sounding of the trumpet, at the dawning of the day, precious with the treasures shall forever pass away. Oh my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, pray for me. Poor lost sinners, I will be crying for the home they'll never see. Father, I'm sorry, will be singing, rock of ages, pray for me. Oh my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, pray for me. Oh my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, for me, oh my loving brother. When the world's on fire, only one God's bosom, cover your pillow, hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, pray for me.
I dreamed of the great judgment morning.
Amen.
The trumpet had blown. Amen. Friends, it's a serious thing. And you know, every single person will be there on that day. Amen. Whether you're rich or poor, bond or free, the Bible says everyone will stand that day.
Amen.
Someone will be standing with Christ in judgment because you are represented in Him.
Hallelujah.
Others will be standing before
Amen.
Him in judgment.
Amen.
And the books will be opened. Oh, friends. These books will be opened once again.
Amen.
Why not submit yourself to the anointed words of the book?
Amen.
And just say, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. No matter
Amen.
What I have to do, Lord, I give myself to you. And you know, the moment you have the right attitude,
Amen.
He'll give you the power that you need to overcome what you need to overcome.
Amen.
The moment he sees that surrender in your heart, that's all that he's looking for.
Judgment morning had dawned and the trumpet had blown. I dreamed that the nations were gathered to judgment before the white throne. From the throne came a bright shining angel, and he stood on the land and the sea, and he swore with his hands raised to heaven that time was no longer to be. And oh, what a weeping and wailing as the lost were told of their fate. They cried for the rocks and the mountains, they prayed but their prayers were too late. The rich man was there but his money had melted and vanished away. Pauper he stood in the judgment, his debts were too heavy to pay. The great man was there but his greatness, when death came, was left far behind. The angel that opened the record, not a trace of his greatness could find. And oh, what a weeping and wailing as the lost were told of their fate. They cried for the rocks and the mountains, they prayed but their prayer was too late. Widow was there with the orphans, God heard and remembered the cries. No sorrow in heaven forever, God wiped all the tears from their eyes. The gambler was there and the drunkard, and the man that had sold them the drink, with the people who gave him the license, together in hell they did sing. And oh, what a weeping and wailing as the lost were told of their fate. They cried for the rocks and the mountains, they prayed but their prayer was too late. The moral man came to the judgment, but self-righteous rites would not do. The men who had crucified Jesus had passed off as moral men too. The soul that had good of salvation, not tonight, I'll get saved by and by. No time now to think of religion, at last they had found time to die. And oh, what a weeping and wailing as the lost were told of their fate. They cried for the rocks and the mountains, they prayed but their prayer was too late. And oh, what a weeping and wailing as the lost were told of their fate. They cried for the rocks and the mountains, they prayed
but their prayers were too late. Let's bow our heads, friends. The song says they prayed, but their prayers were too late. I'm so glad to say that if you pray now, it's not too late. I don't believe there's anybody who's here today that it's too late. If you're seeking for mercy, mercy is there. Mercy is available full and free. Just come unto Him. Just submit yourself unto Him. Just make your claim upon Him. Because He's the one that's paid the price. Your judge became your attorney. Your judge has become the jury. He's already said, not guilty. If you'll just hide yourself in Him. Why don't we come to a time of prayer, whatever you need before the Lord, just put it before the Lord. And may the Lord help us as we do look to Him at this time. Father, coming unto Thee upon this day as Your people. Father, just a people that just continually need of Your grace, Lord, day by day. Just wanting to hide ourselves in Thee, Father, even as You've been singing, Lord. Father, we just want to hide ourselves in the Since let's sing that song, Ancient Words Long Preserved. For our walk in this world, it's His grace, it's His mercy, friends. The prophet says the token is rest. But it's amazing, like I said many times, the prophet preaches the token in the morning and he preaches desperation in the evening. And he shows the balance that's required there. You know, for a believer, because of this age that we're in, friends, it takes some desperation.
Amen.
You know, to press your way in. And he takes that scripture in desperation that from the time of John, the kingdom was preached. He says, but now men press into
Amen.
It. You've got to press in because there's much opposition. There's your flesh. There's all your own ideas and everything like that. But when He draws near to you and He opens His wings of mercy, He says, press in.
Amen.
Press in and find refuge inside of Me. So it's a good thing. Let's press in.
Words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart, oh, hear the ancient words in part. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us go. In this world, wherever we roam, ancient words will guide us all. Ancient words ever do, changing me and changing you. We have come with open heart, already ancient words impart. You live words of our faith, handed down to this age. Through sacrifice, oh, hear the faithful words of Christ. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart, holy the ancient words. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open heart, O Lady, ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me. We have come with open heart, ancient words impart, holy word, handed down to this age, came to us through sacrifice, oh.
hear the faithful words of Christ. Holy birds long preserved for above all in this world. They resound with God's own word and chant in power and chant changing me and changing you. We have come with open heart, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open. With open words, O Lady, ancient words.
Closing for us in a word of prayer today, brother.
Heavenly Father.
Yes, Lord.
Just at the end, O Lord, we feel, O Lord, something special. Because we see, we can see that we really at the end of times, O Lord. chapters are closing one by one, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And you want to tell to us something.
Amen.
Something in emergency, O Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, help us to respond really.
Amen.
Help us to call from deepness of our heart. Help us to call from deepness of our bodies.
Yes, Lord.
From deepness of our souls, O Lord.
Amen.
Help us to pray really, O Lord.
Amen.
Pray of faith.
Yes, Lord.
Pray of help.
Amen.
Pray of submission, O Lord.
Yes.
Help us to pray. Real prayer, O Lord, not like before, O Lord.
Amen.
Help us. Put us on higher ground, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Put us, O Lord, in way of understanding, O Lord.
Hallelujah.
That we can understand your voice, O Lord.
Yes,
lift
Lord.
Us up, O Lord. We ask your mercy and grace, O Lord.
Amen.
That we will be really in spirit like we sing that song, John was in the spirit, O Lord.
Yes,
help
Lord.
Us, O Lord. Lift Amen. Us up. That we can hear, O Lord, your voice. That we can respond, O Lord.
Yes.
That we can do in our life's things, O Lord, you require from us, O
yes,
Lord,
Lord.
That we
yes,
will
Lord.
Find
yes,
ourselves yes, in blessed position, O Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, that you can bless us, that you can lead us, that you can take us, O
yes,
Lord.
Lord.
We are so thankful, O Lord, because you blessed us in many ways,
Amen.
O Lord. But Lord, help us in these times of crisis, O Lord.
Please, Lord.
When we are just going into certain direction, O Lord, that we will be in a position that we will submit ourselves.
Yes,
O Lord, help us. Yes, give us Lord, good yes. spirit, O Lord. Lord. Spirit, O Lord, that will be soft, O Lord.
Yes,
when
Lord.
Sun comes on that ground which is full of water, that will be not just hardened,
Amen.
But like butter that will be softened and softened, O Lord.
Yes,
that
Lord.
We will understand what you require from us. That
Amen.
We will walk in tact of gospel, O Lord.
Amen.
You send these days, O Lord.
Amen.
Oh, we are so thankful, O Lord.
Amen.
Bless everyone, O Lord. Touch our weaknesses, whatever
yes.
is need, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We are so
Lord.
Thankful you came many yes, times Lord. To us, O Lord.
Yes.
Just prove that you are God, that you are taking care of us, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
O Lord, even this message was brought before us, O Lord.
Amen.
Was preached, O Lord.
Amen.
May that become life in
Amen.
Our lives, O Lord.
Yes.
We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we depart from this place,
Amen.
Be with us. Speak to us, O Lord.
Amen.
Speak to our hearts, like David says. You spoke once, but I heard twice, O
yes, Lord.
Speak
yes,
to us
Lord.
When we
yes,
go
Lord.
Home.
So.
When we are at home, O Lord,
yes.
be with us. We commit
ourselves
into your hands, even our children, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We sing that song as we dismiss saints. I'm a pilgrim, I'm a stranger,
Amen.
Marching through this world of sin. Amen.
I'm a pilgrim
and a stranger, wandering through this world of sin, on my way to that fair city, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number, when the saints go marching in. Oh, I know I'll see my Savior if my life is free from sin. Heaven's door will open for me when the saints go marching in. When the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in that number, when the saints go marching in. When we gather around the throne and the gates are closed within, I'll be shouting glory, glory, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in. am waiting for the chariot to swing low, and I'll step in on the clouds. I'll ride to heaven when the saints go marching in. When the saints go marching in. When the saints go marching in. Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. When the saints go marching in. When the saints go marching in. Oh, to be in that number when the saints go marching in.